I want to thank Brother Damon for leading this song so well. Walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. There's a possibility, as we read through the Scripture, that we can be deceived. We're not walking with God. Our eyes can be turned off. Lest mine eyes no longer see is how the song put it. And it's possible. Deception's a problem, and it's all too common for us. And the Bible's got a lot of references to that. We as humans can be deceived in many different ways, and that's what we want to think about this evening. In Romans chapter 7, verse 11, Paul wrote, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." The sin deceived him. James chapter 1, we read that sin is our own doing. We can't blame anybody but ourselves about sin. In James 1, verse 13, the account says, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust," that's his own lust, "when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Sin will cause us to lose our souls. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read, "The wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. In John, 1 John chapter 1, we understand that we cannot and we should not pretend to be sinless. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, we read, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." Sin is deceitful. We can deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, we've got to understand that we can't pretend that we don't have sin. But on the flip side of that, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we read quite clearly, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil." There's a doctrine right now, and I've talked about it a number of times in recent past. This doctrine that once you're saved, you can't be lost. And it's a false doctrine. This passage right here will prove it. And a number of others. "Little children, let no man deceive you." Watch out. Look out. Beware. "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin," see, they want to say once you're saved, you can do whatever you want, commit whatever sin you want, and you'll be fine, you'll still be right with God. "He that committeth sin," in 1 John 3 and verse 8, "is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So we understand that those who are sinning are placing themselves outside the realm of Christ. They're placing themselves outside of the stead of God. Those who sin are serving their own master. In Romans 6 and verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." What about the deceitfulness of ourselves? We mentioned that a moment ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Forget everything that you know. Whatever you think, your own imaginations, forget about it. Become a fool, and let the Word of God come into your heart to be wise. Become a fool, that he may become wise." Verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise." That's another thing we've got to watch out for. Our thoughts. "He knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain." We can't think too highly of ourselves. Galatians 6 and verse 3. Galatians 6 and verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself." We can deceive ourselves in a number of ways. And it's easy to do. We're humans. It's possible, but we've got to watch out for it. We've got to study. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. One of the most easiest or the most frequent times that this can be seen when we look at ourselves. One trap in thinking too highly of yourself comes when you try to point out error in someone else. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. Christ says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Verse 5, he says, ever so simply, "Thou hypocrite." There's no other way to put that. Well, there's a number of other ways to put that, but that's a pretty blunt way. Pretty simple way of putting it, so that it can be clearly understood. "Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull the mote out of thy brother's eye." If I'm engaged in a sin, let's say I go out somewhere, and I'm engaged in this sin, and you happen to see me. I don't know that you're there, and you see me commit whatever act of this sin is. I don't notice you there, and maybe you're too ashamed to walk up and to say something. Whatever the case may be, I don't know that you're there. So I think that I'm still in good standing with you. And then I stand up here next Sunday, and I preach against the very sin that you saw me engaged in. Are you going to listen to me? I'd be a hypocrite. We've got to watch out. We've got to live godly lives. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6 again. We've got to live godly lives, and we can't deceive ourselves because we never know who's watching. And we do, but we always know who is watching. God's always watching us. We can also deceive ourselves by not taking an active part in the Lord's work. Galatians 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." How do we deceive ourselves? How is God mocked? When we become complacent in the work. When we serve ourselves instead of serving the desires of God, what God wants us to do. We mock God when we think we can go to heaven without sowing the seed. We deceive ourselves into thinking that people, so-and-so, I could tell him, but he won't listen anyway, so I don't do anything. I'm deceiving myself. The Lord says in this passage that we will reap if we don't quit. Here's James chapter 1. We need to do what we know is good and right by all men. We need to teach God's will. We don't take our actions seriously. Let's read what James says about that. James chapter 1, verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." James 1 and verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's looking in the mirror. And what does the next verse say? Verse 24, "He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And in verse 25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." What is that? Perfect law. Perfect is complete. The complete law of liberty. The law of Christ, the gospel, and continueth therein. Does what the gospel says. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in our deed. We deceive ourselves in our efforts to be religious and pleasing to God become vain when we deceive ourselves. Verse 26, if a man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. That's pretty blunt. What about the deceitfulness of teachers? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The worldly churches all around us, before long, they're going to quit talking about sin altogether. Sin hurts their self-esteem. Sin convicts them. It pricks their heart. And it should. It should, because then they know, they'll understand that they're in error. But each person in many denominations today simply decides what sin is for themselves. They don't worry about what the Word of God teaches. They're not going to talk about it in the assembly. So we can see how Satan deceives people into thinking that they're doing God's will. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's deception. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They deceive people. And it's a deception that is of the greatest kind, I suppose. He transforms himself into an angel of light. We see false teachers on the television. We hear them on the radio. They don't sound bad. They don't look like false teachers. They don't look like ugly ogres. They look just like our preachers. Just like the preachers in the Church of Christ. But they're teaching error. And on a side note, you might think that describes me. I hope nobody here does, but that's possible. Brother David, in his prayer just a little bit ago, he mentioned something that I've heard others say, but I've not heard it said the same way that he said it. He said, after we've tested them, that's what I was about to say, after we've tested what I'm going to say tonight, help us to take it to heart. That's what he said in his prayer. And he's very right in saying that. I certainly welcome any comment stating such. If you think I'm teaching error, for at least three reasons. One, I'd be helping those in the church that I love to be led away from the truth. Number two, I'd be hindering those who aren't members of the body of Christ from finding the truth. I'm teaching error, how can they hear the truth? And I'd be condemning myself to an eternal separation from God and an eternity in torment. Whether you believe in hell or not, it's real. I think everybody here does, but there's a lot of folks that don't. It's real. God says it is. And that settles it. And I believe it. And another thing, I'd be making void the cause for which Christ died. His death wouldn't mean a whole lot if I'm up here preaching against it and leading people astray, thinking they're being led to Christ. The deceitfulness of teachers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they have God. Because why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Evil men will deceive others while they deceive themselves. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They deceive themselves while they're deceiving others. 2 Peter 2, 12 and 13 says that they speak evil of those things that they don't understand. And they will utterly perish in their own corruption and receive the reward of unrighteousness. They'll try to deceive you with their words. Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Who's that wrath coming to? The children of disobedience. Why are they disobedient? Because they were deceived. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Why should we avoid false teachers? Because the verse we just read says so, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Why do you want to avoid a false teacher? Listen to them on the radio. They sound really good. I know they're teaching a little bit of error, but I can pick the error out and I can listen to the rest of it. Think about this. Be not deceived, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Back in Proverbs, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. What happens if you walk with a false teacher? Evil communications corrupt good manners. He says, be not deceived. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You go to them, you go to your brother, you try to help him understand that he's teaching error. If that doesn't work, you take a witness or two or three witnesses. If that doesn't work, you tell it to the church. If that doesn't work, avoid them. Get away from them. You'll become just like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you, in verse 3. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Once you're saved, you're always saved. These people weren't. Somebody had to fall away. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He's thinking too highly of himself. He's deceiving himself. Or that is worship. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why did they perish? Why were they deceived? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What happened? They didn't receive a love of the truth. They didn't let that word come into their hearts. Seek and you shall find. They weren't seeking the truth, so they didn't find it. For this cause. For what cause? The cause that we just read. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They deceive themselves. They won't accept the truth. They won't seek the truth. And God's going to help them out with that. God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's not unrighteous for God to do that. They're turning away from God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Once we're saved, we're always saved. We can be unrighteous. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Wouldn't it be a shame if we were drawn away from serving the living God? Deuteronomy 11 and verse 16 says, take heed to yourselves that ye be not deceived and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Remember Solomon, the wisest man who was only man who ever lived on this earth? He forsook the commandment of God. He took wives of other nations. He took strange wives. And they turned away his heart. They turned away his heart from serving God. Matthew chapter 7. This is very familiar to all of us. Matthew chapter 7. Sadly, many people are going to be drawn away into false practices while they're believing that they're doing the truth. They're going to be deceived. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 15, 8 and 9, Jesus again. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You've got to watch out. You've got to watch out for false teachers. You've got to watch out for me, please. And make sure that what I'm teaching you is the truth. The only way that you can do that is through your own study. Make sure that what I'm telling you is right as well. Paul pled in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We don't study. We will be deceived. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. Is that a suggestion? Think about that for a second. Is that a suggestion? Be not deceived. Or is that a command? But God, if I'm deceived, I won't know I'm deceived because I'm deceived. We've got to study, and we've got to be sure that we're right by studying God's Word, because we know that we can be wrong. We can't just go along doing what we've been doing because that's what we've always done. We've got to study it. Make sure that what we're doing is right. Study to show ourselves approved as unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. God's not going to give us the word. He's not going to give us this Bible. And then tell us, don't be deceived. And then be mocked by us when we don't study it to keep from being deceived and say that it's his fault because he didn't give us enough information. That would not be a just God. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Talking about Moses and the house that he built. For every man is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. What for? For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. He was setting up this testimony for Christ. Verse 6, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope from unto the end. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, parentheses, this is a parenthetical statement, as the Holy Ghost saith, take heed, or excuse me, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. These are God's chosen people. These are the children of Israel. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. In parentheses. Now go back up and see what he says. Wherefore, in verse 7, knowing all that, wherefore, verse 12, take heed. Beware. Look out. Watch. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We've proved that over and over. You can be a child of God and you can depart. Once you're saved, you're not always saved. You've got to watch out. You've got to study. You've got to keep in God's stead. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through what? Through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. Don't harden your heart. The longer, if you're living in sin, if you're living outside of the realm of Christ, the longer you live like that, the harder your heart's going to get. The longer you live in sin, then you engage in sinful practices, the harder your heart's going to get. What about the deceitfulness of fellow men? Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Beginning at verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah 9 and verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they all be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They're ready to shoot. They're ready to fight. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They won't fight for the truth. They'll fight for a lie, but not for the truth. They're deceived. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know me not, saith the Lord. Verse 4, take heed, every one of you, to his neighbor, and trust ye not in thy brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. What do you think that utterly supplant means? Utterly supplant. According to Strong's, it means to grasp at the heel. To hold the heel, to hold back, or to be deceived. To keep from doing, or to be kept from doing what you know you ought to do. They'll utterly supplant. Verse 5, they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. They go out of their way for it. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. That's willingly. Through deceit, that's ignorance, that's this concept that ignorance is bliss. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do to the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. What does that sound like in the New Testament? 1 John 3 and verse 15, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 9 of Jeremiah 9, shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Verse 13, the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law. Are we under a law? We're not under this law. What law are we under? That perfect law of liberty. Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. This is an example for us. And they've not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart. They deceive themselves. And after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, they allow others to deceive them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. You can go on and read the rest of this chapter. And that's pretty much what he says throughout the rest of the chapter. The whole rest of this chapter is talking about their punishment. And God's a loving God. Well, God's a just God. He loves us, but He's a just God. What about the deception of riches? 1 Timothy chapter 6. We all work. We have ways of making money. Whatever our job on this physical job on this earth is, we have ways of making money to meet our needs. But we've got to be able to distinguish between meeting our needs and going further than that. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at First Timothy 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Again, I'll pick on David in his prayer before this lesson, before our singing tonight. He was thankful in that prayer that we have shelter, that we have food, that we have clothing. What else do we need? We've got the physical things taken care of when we have food and clothing. What else do we need? We need to hear the word. That's all that we need. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, you've heard people the same as I have, I'm sure, people out here in the world, oh, you people, you religious people, you think money's the root of all evil. Well, you're out there making money. You don't believe that money's the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Or as some translations put it, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Which while some coveted after, there's the problem, the love of money, while they coveted after, they have erred from the faith. These people were part of the faith, weren't they? These people separated themselves from God and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What about Matthew chapter 13? Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 3. He, Jesus, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Matthew 13 and verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came, and devoured them up. Verse 5. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Did they receive the seed? They received it, didn't they? And they sprung up. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He that hath ears, let him hear. Verse 18, the disciples didn't understand this. It's no big deal if we don't. We go back and he explains it for us. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. It was sown in his heart. He received it. And he was taken away. He was deceived. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He's happy. He's glad. He finally found the truth of God. He obeyed the gospel. He's saved. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he's offended. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns, this is the one we're looking at, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He puts something else in front of God. Riches of the world. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit. We've got to sow the seed. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Titus chapter 1. We've got another example. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. I could have used this back with the false teachers. But I want to look at why. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not. For what reason? For filthy lucre's sake, for the deceitfulness of riches. They deceive people for money. One of themselves, and there's a lot of that going on today too. We can see that. You don't have to have 20/20 vision to see that. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, low bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth, not being deceived. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And he goes through and he tells us some of the things that we need to practice to be involved in sound doctrine. The duties of the aged men, of the aged women, the duties that we have to one another. In verse 11, he says, back there in verse 1 of chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Why? Why do we need to keep preaching that? Why do we need to speak that with all authority? Verse 1 up there, he says, put them in mind. Remind them. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We also were sometimes, we used to be foolish, disobedient, deceived. We were deceived. I didn't grow up in this religion. I was deceived as a young individual. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was saved. And then I studied. We were deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not things that we invented, not works that we came up with here in the Church of Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. That's parallel with John 3 and verse 5. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He saved us by, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the water and the Spirit, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, that being justified how? By our own works? That's what people say about us. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why did Israel fall? Still talking about the deception of riches. Why did Israel fall? Romans chapter 11. Excuse me. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, that's the fall of Israel, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be what? The riches of the world. The fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Paul says, for I speak unto you Gentiles, even as much as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, that I might save some of them. For in verse 15, listen. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? They took themselves out of the hand of God. And he says, it's not too late. They can be received again. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? They let the riches of the world take them out of stead with God. Take them away from God. But they can be received again. They can be made right with God again. It's sad to see so many people deceiving themselves concerning their own salvation. There's so many people all around us that they're going to lose their souls because they've been deceived. We've got to examine ourselves. What about you? What about me? Are we deceived? Have we deceived ourselves? Have we let somebody else deceive us? We've got to hear the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing. We've got to hear and we've got to believe. We've got to repent and confess. And we've got to be baptized. Romans 6 and verse 3. Romans 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Am I deceiving someone when I tell them that? Am I deceiving people when I say baptism is necessary, is essential for their salvation? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. He starts off in this passage, beware. That sound familiar? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's the circumcision of the heart. In putting off the body of sins, the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Oh, that's one of these things that you people in the Church of Christ invented. Baptism is something that you do and nobody else does it to say that you have to do it to be saved. That's the Church of Christ thing. We invented that. Read that verse again. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of whom? The preacher at the Church of Christ? No, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Baptism is God's work, it's not ours. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Washing away your sin in Acts 22 and 16. That's not the end of the story either, though. We've got to live faithfully. We can't be deceived that once we've done those things, once we've heard and believed and repented and confessed and been baptized for the remission of sins into that church in the New Testament. So the Lord will add us to that church in the New Testament. That's not the end of the story. We've got to live faithfully. Don't be deceived and think that once you're saved, that's it. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Jesus told the church at Smyrna to be faithful unto death to receive that crown of life. We've got to be faithful to death, to the point of death, through tribulation, through persecution. Not like that seed that when tribulation and persecution comes along, doesn't have any root, and it withers away. We can't be like that. We've got to be faithful unto death. Song number 315, Oh Why Not Tonight. Do not let the word depart. Close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart. Don't let your heart be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't close your eyes against the light of Christ. Be saved, oh, tonight. If there's any way that we can help you in any way, let us know if we stand and we sing this song.